Our scripture reading for the day is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
All right. Good morning, everybody. If you haven't already turned to the scripture that Corey just read so beautifully, I would appreciate it if you did so now. As you're turning there, I just want to say thank you for the opportunity to preach in Kyle's absence. I fully take heart in Paul's words this morning that whether we are afflicted or whether we are comforted ultimately is for the good of others. So whether you are afflicted by this message or comforted by it, please know that it's ultimately for your good and perhaps for the good of somebody else who suffers through somebody's first few sermons later on in life. Our text speaks abundantly of suffering, and so I know it's a risky subject for me to speak about. I'm 25 years old. I haven't suffered a lot in this life. I would imagine that most of you have suffered quite a bit more than I have. But I will share what I have gleaned with my little experiences of suffering that I've had so far. So a little background for me. After I became a Christian in late high school, pretty much all of my friends abandoned me. Shortly after, I went to college, following my best friend in the hopes of sharing the gospel with him and seeing him come to faith. He took his own life, so I suffered the loss of that friend as well. I've experienced quite a bit of friction with my family because of my faith in Christ. My parents and my brothers generally don't understand why I do what I do. You know, why I go to seminary when you could go to medical school or when you could go to law school and make tons of money. And frankly, I've suffered a lot because of my own sin and my own flesh. And I know that, all of us who are in Christ have done so as well. I've experienced the Lord's faithful and loving discipline as long as I have been one of his adopted sons. So knowing that, I do have a little bit of experience with suffering. I will trust, however, that all of you have more. I will also trust, however, that nobody in this room can really hold a candle to one of the champions of suffering, Paul himself. In fact, later on in 2 Corinthians, as he's defending his apostleship against the so-called super apostles, he gives us a very impressive list of his sufferings that I'm just going to quote at length. He says, "Are they servants of Christ? I am a better one. I am talking like a madman. With far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. 1 night and 1 day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure." And as if that's not enough. "And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is made to fall, and I am not indignant?" So, brother or sister, if you come here suffering this morning, you have a friend in Paul, and I hope that his words mediated through me will be of great encouragement to you. In our text this morning, Paul gives us three reasons to praise the Father who comforts his suffering children. The first reason is that our Father's comfort never fails. We'll see that in verses 3 and 4. The second reason is that his Son knows our suffering. We'll see that in verses 5 and 6. And then in verse 7, we'll see that his Spirit guarantees that we never suffer alone. So there's a little bit of Trinitarian action going on here that hopefully I'll be able to unpack and we'll all be able to see. So in my personal experience with suffering and my experience of suffering with friends and with family, I've learned that humans are particularly bad at suffering. Nobody enjoys suffering, and oftentimes in the midst of suffering, we can forget who we are. As Christians, we may forget that we're sons and daughters of the King of the universe and be tempted to reject him and leave everything for more comfortable pastures. People who aren't Christians who suffer. Before I was a Christian, I had no idea how I even survived in the face of all the suffering in the world. And frankly, I'm still baffled at how a lot of non-Christians can continue living in the inescapable suffering in our broken and fallen world. But I have found that if not the best balm for suffering, up there is the best balm is a good friend, a shoulder to cry on, who's going to do more than just share platitudes, right? We've all had that acquaintance, he's probably not a friend, who comes by and pithily says, "The Lord means it for your good," or "It's going to be okay in the end," or "Just have faith." But we all know that doesn't help with suffering. All it does is just remind us, oh, what I'm feeling right now is wrong, and you've made me feel like a horrible person. But a good friend who will be there, who says, it's okay that you're suffering, it's okay that you're crying, it's okay that you're angry, that is something that we can hold on to. And I think in verses 3 and 4, that God himself, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is exactly that kind of friend. We sang, Jesus, what a friend for sinners. I think we can also sing, our Father, what a friend for sinners. So why is God such a good friend in the midst of suffering? Well, his comfort never fails. He promises his people that he will never leave them nor forsake them. And he has the power to back up that promise. He is wise enough to know how to heal every wound. And he's so loving that his children's suffering hurts him probably even more than it hurts them. So Paul is able to call him the God of all comfort, who comforts his children in all their affliction. When Paul was in prison, his father was there with him. When Paul was being beaten, his father was there. When Paul was near death, his father was there. Shipwrecked, his father was there. In danger from rivers, robbers, his own people, Gentiles, in the city, in the wilderness, at sea, in toil and hardship, through sleepless nights and hunger, day after day after day, his father was there. And if you're in Christ, if you name Jesus as your Lord, that father is there for you too, all the time, without fail. But he's not just there for your sake. Comfort doesn't just end at you. In fact, he's there for you so that you might learn how to be there for others as well. Our Father comforts us without fail, so that, as Paul says in verse 4, we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. I think this is very important for us to recognize, because even better than a friend who's there in the midst of suffering is a friend who has shared your suffering, who knows exactly what you're going through. I'm able to minister to people who suffer from particular things. For my story, people who suffer with sexual sin, with people who suffer from suicidal thoughts, people who suffer from estrangement from their families, people who don't have friends, people who have self-esteem issues, because the Lord has brought me through those things I am uniquely equipped to comfort people who are suffering with those things. And each of us has our own unique story with our own unique sufferings that the Lord has allowed to come into our lives, not just so that we would be conformed to the image of Christ in our suffering, but so that we would be like Christ for others. Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Jesus's people, what friend for sinners as well. So think of your suffering. The church needs people who have diverse experiences of suffering. I can't minister to people who have lost children or who are suffering from cancer or who are suffering from different types of sins that hold them back nearly as effectively as the people who have gone through those things can. Of course, I can bring God's word to bear on those situations, but I can't say, I know exactly what you're going through. I simply can't, because my story is not theirs. But as we have people who have different, diverse types of sufferings, we can find someone within our body with whom we've been united to come alongside us simply by virtue of those shared experiences. So our suffering isn't just for our own good, it's for the good of those around us. And we can recognize in this as well that our current suffering, no matter how deep the valleys may be, no matter how bitter the tears may come, no matter how painful and soul-racking our experience might be, our suffering may well be the reason that someone in the future cries out alongside Paul, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Our Father is worthy of praise because he uses our suffering in such magnificent ways, and he is always there for us. So this brings us very quickly to our second reason that we should praise the Father who comforts his suffering children. If you look at verses 5 and 6. The Father's Son knows our suffering. Now, following Jesus inevitably leads to suffering. If you're not aware of this, I'm going to just share a few quotes from Paul, from Luke, and even from Jesus himself. In Philippians 1:29, Paul says, "It has been graciously granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake." He writes to the Thessalonians, "No one should be moved by these afflictions, by these sufferings. For you yourselves know that we are destined for this, that God set them up for suffering." And one of my favorite of Paul's sermons in the book of Acts, from Acts 14:22, he strengthens the souls of the disciples, saying, "Through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God." How's that for a sermon? Finally, in Luke 9:23, our Lord Jesus himself says, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." The Christian life, if you haven't found this out already, is supposed to be full of suffering in order that it might also be full of comfort. So what are some of the sufferings that Christians might be able to expect? Paul doesn't say if we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, but as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings. Well, some of the sufferings that we see of Christ are persecution, hunger, long days and nights, anxiety over others' spiritual health, even death itself. These are all external sufferings that we can expect as Christians. Even more so, internally, we can expect a lot of suffering as well. The never-ending war that goes on within each one of us, between our flesh and between God's Holy Spirit. Basically, Christ's sufferings are what Jesus himself suffered. Jesus says that no student is greater than his master, and if we are not greater than our master, why wouldn't we expect to suffer exactly what he suffered? I think it's very reasonable. So even though the Christian life brings abundant suffering, and I'd say perhaps even because the Christian life brings abundant suffering, through Christ, there is equal comfort. Jesus promised his disciples in Matthew 28 that he would be with them every single day until he returns. Christ knows your suffering because he's with you. Christ's presence is the reason that Paul was able to endure so much suffering. You couldn't keep him down. He even was able to recommend others to suffer like him as well. Would any of us have the boldness to tell a fellow Christian, hey, it would be a great idea for you to suffer a little bit more? Paul had no problem saying that because he knew that that suffering brought him closer to his Lord who was with him every single day. God's answer to suffering in this present age between Christ's death and his second coming, it's not to remove the suffering. In fact, if he merely removed the suffering that you experience, he would be doing you a disservice. It would be quite unloving for God to take your suffering away instead of giving you the strength to go through it. It's better to have the strength to go through the suffering because, as Paul says in Romans 5, suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. I like to think of this in terms of weightlifting. I might not look like it, but I actually enjoy weightlifting quite a lot. And if you want to get stronger, if you want to be better at weightlifting, if you want to be more comfortable in the gym, as it were, the trick isn't to avoid going to the gym. It's not to avoid the uncomfortable places. Rather, it's to keep on going and keep on suffering until you get better at suffering and until you're able to suffer more. Eventually, you add on more and more and more weight, and the weights that you started off with aren't so cumbersome anymore. They become light, momentary afflictions, as Paul might say elsewhere, as he encourages us to have hope for the future. So by way of application, I'd like for us to think, in the midst of suffering, what is your instinct? Do you try to run away from the suffering? Do you try to medicate the suffering? Do you pray for God to take your suffering away? I think this last response is eminently reasonable. In fact, we see that Jesus prayed the same thing in the Garden of Gethsemane. So you're not alone if you are praying for God to take your suffering away, whatever that suffering may be. But we have to remember how Jesus' prayer ended. Father, not my will, but your will be done. So let your suffering send you sprinting to the Father whose comfort never fails and the Son who knows your suffering. Ask them for the strength to patiently endure that suffering so that your endurance might produce hope. Which brings us to the third reason to praise the Father who comforts his suffering children. His Spirit guarantees that we never suffer alone. All right, I love the Trinity just as much as the next guy, probably more so. And I know that the Spirit isn't mentioned by name in this text, but I know that I can prove to you that he is there indeed. In fact, his presence is palpable throughout our entire paragraph. In verse 4, when God comforts his people, he doesn't just console them and come alongside them, putting a shoulder around them and saying, they're there. He gives them the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who comes and lives inside them. In verse 5, when we share in Christ's sufferings, we do so because we are united with Christ by the Holy Spirit. As Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. We endure in the midst of Christ's sufferings because the Spirit gives us the strength to keep on going. And in verse 7, our final section, the Holy Spirit is the one who produces unshakable hope. Paul has a beautiful prayer in Romans 15:13. He prays, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And finally, we see that the Holy Spirit enables and empowers Christian fellowship. Paul's hope for the Corinthians was grounded in the fact that their suffering was similar. Just as the Holy Spirit led Paul to suffer with Christ, he led the Corinthians to suffer with Paul. And he leads us today to suffer with Christ and with one another so that we will also be comforted with one another. I take great refuge in Romans 8, 16 and 17, where the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided that we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. So, although every one of our stories is unique and all of us have suffered differently, in my 3 years, as I've gotten to know each of you a little bit better, I've been finding myself having plenty of Me Too moments. It's incredibly comforting to know that the Lord is working in your lives very similarly to the way that he's working in mine. I don't know about you guys, but the suffering of this world leads me to doubt if it's worth following Jesus or if I am even really in Christ, because sin is so difficult to fight against and I wrestle with my flesh so constantly. But as we meet in life group week after week, or as I have lunch with various ones of you in various conversations, I see that your struggles and mine are very similar. And that brings me great comfort and great hope that my hope is not in vain, that the same Lord who died and rose from the grave is the Lord for whom I am suffering. I think, honestly, suffering is one of the surest signs of salvation. So if you are doubting your salvation, if you're doubting the goodness of the Lord in your life, ask yourself, am I suffering similarly to my brothers and sisters in Christ? If your suffering is similar, chances are you're following the same Lord. If your suffering is quite dissimilar, it may be helpful to reflect and ask, why is my suffering so different from everybody else? Why does nobody else understand my suffering? Why am I feeling so alone? But take refuge in the fact that if you suffer with your brothers and sisters who are suffering like Christ, the Lord will comfort you because you are his child. So hopefully we've seen that we ought to praise the Father who comforts his suffering children because his comfort never fails, his Son knows our suffering, and his Spirit guarantees that we never suffer alone. This asks then the vital question, how exactly do we go about praising our Father? I think Paul answers this question later on in 2 Corinthians in verses 7 through 15 of chapter 4, which I will read at length. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke, we also believe and so also we speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So brothers and sisters, our suffering isn't just for each of us individually to become more like Christ. It's not even for us corporately, for our church health as we comfort and encourage one another. Ultimately, our suffering is for the sake of the gospel itself. This is why Paul says, whether we are afflicted or whether we are comforted, it's for your comfort and your salvation. And at this point, we do well to remember that although we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, he suffered something far worse that we could possibly never share in. As he was praying in Gethsemane for his Father to take away his suffering, he wasn't just asking to be released from the pain of hunger or the sleepless nights or the homelessness or the persecution of the Pharisees or any other of his pains. He was asking to be released from nothing less than the wrath of God, the terrible and unquenchable wrath of a holy God against sin. While our suffering in this world may abound, it will never approach the dreadful suffering of our Savior, who, Isaiah 53 tells us, bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, who was struck down by God and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. As Paul says later on in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Think about the impropriety of that for a moment, the sheer absurdity. The perfect Son of God who knew no sin, coming down to earth to suffer in our place. We deserve all of our sufferings. We deserve more than the sufferings the Lord allows to come into our life. Yet the Lord humiliated himself by taking the form of a slave and becoming obedient to the point of death. There was no comfort for Christ as his suffering abounded. His cry wasn't, "Blessed be my God and Father," but, my God, why have you forsaken me?" So as we suffer, then let us praise our Father who will never forsake us, but will comfort us at every turn. Let us praise his Son, our Lord, who suffered for us and received no comfort for our salvation. And let us praise the Spirit who gives us endurance until our suffering is no more. Please pray with me. Merciful Father, Father of comforts, our Lord Jesus, this man of sorrows, Son of God, who knew more suffering than we could possibly imagine. Holy Spirit, who secures our hope in the midst of our suffering. Lord, we pray that you would enable us to carry in our bodies the death of Christ, so that the life of Christ may be at work in those who don't yet know you. Lord, as we suffer, let us hold fast to you. Let us patiently endure suffering, knowing that if we endure with Christ, we will also reign with Christ. Father, help us praise you in the midst of suffering rather than trying to run away from suffering or minimize suffering. Lord, help us identify with your Son, Jesus, who suffered the suffering that we deserve so that we wouldn't have to suffer it. Father, we are so grateful for the opportunity to proclaim your Son's death until he comes as we take the supper. And we pray that as we remember his body broken for us and his blood poured out for us, pray that as we remember those things, you would remind us of your goodness, that you would comfort us in the midst of our current sufferings, or if we're not particularly suffering, that you would prepare us for the future suffering that is going to come. Lord, we thank you that you have graciously granted it to us, not just to believe in your Son, but also to suffer with him, and as we suffer with him, to become more like him. Lord, help us remain faithful, help us remain steadfast, until you return and our suffering is no more, when you wipe away every tear and right every wrong. Father, our hope is in you alone. Lord, we love you and we ask these things in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.